In the name of our God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. Please be seated. Because there are only a few faces for me to look at today, and these are wonderful faces. I don't have anything against any of them. But without your faces from 5 o'clock, from 8 and 10, it's really hard for me to preach in the spirit I'd like to. So you might be shocked. I have notes today. Our rector was startled. He almost went white when I told him I had notes. Today, the lessons could really not be more appropriate. More appropriate for this Lenten journey, particularly this year. We hear that Trish read so greatly the story of the dry bones from Ezekiel, where the bones came together and life happened around them. Life was restored by our God. And then we heard the long story from the gospel about the raising of Lazarus, where Lazarus was brought back to life. He wasn't resurrected. He was brought back to life with his sisters, Mary and Martha, and their friends. Different. But again, God restored life to him and filled him with life. It's funny, and all this time, I've been a priest 48 years now, or 49 years, I've never experienced a time, a Lenten time like this, where we were forced, not forced, but we chose to be apart, to be distancing ourselves from others, to be isolated from others, and it felt and feels so strange, yet so critically important that we all do this. And yet, we are here today and with you there celebrating the fifth Sunday of Lent, a Sunday that begins to have us turn, if you will, turn towards the coming of Palm Sunday and coming of Holy Week. One of the things about today that is, I think, especially significant is that we are looking at death. We are looking at death straight on, the death of Lazarus, all the dried bones from Ezekiel, and we're looking at that and looking for our God to do something, to be with us. And as the story goes, he does. He restores life. Life and death at this during this time is challenging at best. One of the most heartbreaking things for me is to know that there are people dying in the hospitals and wherever without family and friends around, totally isolated. One of the most painful things I can think of, and yet they're there. And having recently with Barbara Harris, with Bishop Harris, been in the ICU and been in hospital, I can tell you those nurses, that staff, are incredible. They reach out to you in every way. And I'm sure if any of you have loved ones that are hospitalized right now, they are benefiting by the gifts of this love and grace. While we're looking at death today, all deaths are not necessarily bad. Death can be a victory. Death can be an opportunity for letting go, for being free. I'll share with you, which I really haven't shared with other people, I was with Barbara for the last 2 weeks of her life, pretty much around the clock, and I saw the changes that happened, the changes of one vibrant person just sort of in a way, drifting away. For the last week of her life, she really was not communicative at all. I could speak to her, and I might get a notion or a nodding of the head or a fluttering of the eyes, but she was really, really gone. One of the things that just so impressed me in the hospice in Lincoln was that when we checked Barbara in on Wednesday before Friday the 13th, The music therapy person came to me and said, did Barbara like music? And I said, she loves music, particularly gospel music. And so the next morning, a young African-American, recent graduate of Berkeley, named Terrell Richmond, came to sing gospel hymns to Barbara. He came and would sit right by her bed with a keyboard on his lap. And he actually played like she did. I said, you know, be careful, because if she doesn't like the way you're playing, she's been known to get up and move people off the bench and take over. But she liked the way Terrell played. And he sang many of her favorite gospel songs. And she opened her eyes and was paying attention. It was a remarkable time. And then he actually came back the next day, which was the day she died, Friday the 13th, and played some more. But this time, she did not open her eyes, but you could watch her breathing, and it changed. It changed, reflecting the rhythm, the stuff of the music. Music for the soul, for sure. And the former dean of the cathedral, Jep, and his wife, Sue, were with us at that time and noticed the same thing, that as the music changed its rhythms, so did Barbara in breathing. The last day was an incredibly peaceful day. Our Bishop Allen came out in the afternoon. Gratefully, he brought me a sandwich because they couldn't feed us in the hospice. And we shared that in the context with Barbara's room and so forth. And then at about 10:15, I went over to Barbara's bed and said, Barbara, I'm going to be getting into bed. You know, it's late for me. She always teased me because I go to bed early. She never went to bed before midnight or 1 or 2 o'clock. And she didn't move. But anyway, I said, I'm going to bed. It's about 10:15, and I'll be sleeping right at the end of your bed, and we'll be here all night. So sleep well, and I love you. By the time I got maybe 10 feet, I could not hear her breathing anymore. And within 3 to 5 minutes, she had died in that very peaceful time of being surrounded with love and being able to let go. So that, for Barbara, was a peaceful death, a death that freed her from all the complications of her physical life and freed her to go on the next journey. Alan and I were laughing, as well as Curtis from the monastery who'd been out a day before, that when the two of them get together in heaven, Tom Shaw and Barbara Harris, there's going to be trouble. And I am sure that it was and is the case. Today, though, we're looking at the kind of death that feels desolate, the kind of death that leaves us alone, the kind of death we don't know what happens. And yet, the promise from Ezekiel and from the gospel is that God restores life back to us. And in the case of Lazarus, God restores life in a way that we come back, and yet, the difference is here, he unbinds us. He unbinds us from those things that separate us from other people, from each other, and from God. And so as we anticipate being brought back from the many, many tombs in our life, we anticipate also the unbinding, the letting go, the freeing up for us to become the people of God in a new way. So as we approach Palm Sunday and Holy Week, we also may approach it in a new way, somewhat less bound up and somewhat more free to go on this journey in this strange time, this journey with God through this Holy Week pageant. I want to read you from Bishop Kinsley over in Rhode Island, he sent something out to his clergy, and I still get it, even though I have been in Massachusetts for a long time, that I thought was really helpful. Bishop Kinsley says, "We were not created for this moment. We were created to dwell with God and to live in God's love without fear of death and plague. Though we have strayed by Jesus' saving acts, we have been restored. We are now his family, members of his household, heirs of God's kingdom and rule. He has called us his friends. In this Lent, in a way many of us reading this have not ever had to do, cling to this promise. It is enough. Amen."